Hi, my name is Slinky. Thank you for listening to My Mom. I never listen.
One of my all-time favorite iconic athletes and favorite people, Mia Hamm, who needs no introduction. Hey, what's David Letterman going to do you anyway? Like, his the name of his show is Needs No Introduction. You don't need an introduction.
I just have a short name. That's more how to do it.
Yeah, it fits on the whole graphic, right?
It does. Oh, and I spelled it wrong. You put an L instead of an I. Oh, well.
That's all right. We know who you are. You are such a... it's so wonderful that you would take some time for 24 hours, nothing but net. You know, we're in year 7. We did cross a million. We're still going, Mia, but it's getting harder. I can tell you that. The training is getting much tougher. It's fun, though.
Oh, it's amazing what you've been able to do. And obviously, Frankie is just a gem, and just how much you've invested into this cause. And obviously, you take it so seriously. You're training big time for it. And still got that shot, Debbie. Like, seriously.
Well, you know what? Next year, I'm going to need some celebrity shooters. So I'm going to need you at the free throw line, I think. I know you got a little point guard skill in you.
Yeah. But the problem is this point guard just did a lot of layups, didn't shoot the ball very much. So
I think one of the little known facts about you is you won a state championship in high school, didn't you?
I did. I think my freshman year, we won the Texas Christian Interscholastic League, Notre Dame High School out of Wichita Falls. So it was fun. It was averaged, I think, 22 points a game. Like I said, a lot of steals, thank goodness for speed, and a lot of layups.
So. What number did you wear in high school?
Oh, my God. Great question. I can't even remember. It was because you were a freshman. You just got whatever fit you. Yeah. I didn't get a choice. So
that's funny. You know, I bet that coach is looking back now and probably wanted to stick you in number 8. Number 8 wasn't available in basketball back then, but they do have 8s now.
Yeah, I know. It had to fit on one hand.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of update, Mia. Like, share with us something entertaining and interesting about what you're doing. You got so many things, I don't even know what direction to go.
Well, in less than 2 weeks, I'm giving the commencement at the University of North Carolina. So that has taken up a lot of my mental and emotional kind of focus, where I never thought I'd do it. But, you know, I was talking to my kids about overcoming your fears, and this is definitely one of my biggest ones. And I can't ask them to do it if I'm not willing to do it myself. So Chancellor Roberts called me in the fall and asked if I would consider. And, you know, I have to be the kind of role model that I want to be for my kids. So I got to step up and do it. And obviously Carolina just means so much to me. And, you know, my approach with it is not, you know, there's so many inspirational people out there, but just to tell my story, what I've learned about my growth as a student and as an athlete at Carolina, as well as the national team, and just lessons that I've learned, just 3 points I want to share with these graduates, and hope I can keep their attention for, you know, 15 minutes. And but I'm really excited and just hoping I don't pass out while I'm up there.
I know that you are not always a comfortable public speaker, so I appreciate how you talk about facing your fear. It's not easy to get up and front of what will probably be, I don't know, I'm guessing 7,000 or 8,000 graduates.
Yeah, thanks for that, Debbie. Thanks for just giving me those numbers. I've seen shots of graduation last year. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of eyes, a lot of ears, and just, you know, like I said, hope the people that I mention in the speech, that I make them proud, and You know, it's a way to kind of give the lessons I've learned in life, and hopefully these students, as they embark on the next stage of theirs, can find a little bit of grounding and inspiration through it.
Well, I humbly say I gave commencement at NC State in December of 23. So I didn't have the full graduation. I had the fall graduation. And I know what you're saying about, you know, your love for North Carolina, my love for NC State, and trying to share what you've experienced. Of course, I'm not sure that Chancellor Woodson looked at my transcript before he invited me to speak. I'm sure he did not. You'd have to dig deep into the archives and probably the microfiche, pull it out on something. I don't know. But it was a humbling experience. And for me, Mia, when I put on that academic robe, that robe that they wear, and I didn't have to wear the head thing, so I was glad of that. But to put the robe on, it was pretty cool. I mean, I was really emotional about it. And then when we were done and we go in the back and, you know, everybody's taking their robes off, I was the last one to take it off. I really didn't want to take it off because nobody would have ever thought that me and academics and all that would have crossed. And, you know, I just took a lot of pictures in it just because it could be a really good Halloween costume one day for me.
No, I hear you. I think I'm going to try to enjoy the experience as much as I can. And like I said, it's a way to continue to thank this community that really meant so much to me, means so much to me. And even though these students obviously weren't classmates of mine, we are bound by this place, as Charles Kuralt said, what binds us to this place. And just happy to make that connection and honor these students, because that's probably the best advice I was given, was remember it's for them. Right. And to celebrate them and just connect us in a way, and what I've been able to learn, and how you can always use your experience at, you know, NC State, Carolina, to help you as you move forward in life.
Yeah. I guarantee you that those students are going to benefit from your time and all the heart that you pour into it. I had a couple of editors that made sure I had my points right and said it clearly. And I'm grateful for them, because I don't think I would have felt comfortable if I didn't have my people that I trust looking at, you know, the edit of what I had planned to say. But they're definitely going to remember what you said. I bet there's not one kid in the audience that remembers anything I said.
No, I hope so. I hope so. You know, if people have been like, tell jokes. I was like, yeah, I'm more kind of the dry wit humor. So I'll use that in there. It's a little more spontaneous. I said, but I've always been an emotional person and a little on the serious side. And I might never get this chance again. And so as I said at the beginning, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. Like, this is my life. These are the people and the lessons I've learned from them. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to pick three because there were so many. And then obviously being a parent, as you know, there are so many overlaps in terms of your life experiences and how you're trying to pass that knowledge on to your kids. And they've helped me really grow. My kids have really helped me grow as a person and kind of reflect and, you know, change some of those lessons or have them apply in a different way, I guess, as someone that's off the field now. So that's probably my last point that I'm going to share with them, is my growth as a person, the things I wish I was better at when I played and when I went to Carolina, and that I've really learned now being a parent, because your kids kind of ask that of you.
I couldn't have said that any better. I mean, it is never about us as moms anymore anyway. It's always about the kids. And if you don't ever accept it or look at it like that, you probably have the wrong attitude and your kids are going to suffer for it. But are your kids going to go to commencement with you? Will they be able to be there?
No, they're actually finishing up high school. One might, but we're still working on that. But Nomar's going to join me, so I'm really excited. He's going to be there with me, as not just the emotional support, but just be able to share the experience with them.
Yeah, that's cool. So give us a little update on the kids, if you will. Like, who's doing what, playing what? Just break it down a little bit.
Yeah, no, two daughters graduating. So that's graduating high school. So that's kind of taken up a lot of time, and off to college next year. And then our son's just making his way through seventh grade. And he's fencing and playing a little golf. So that's fun. Outside of watching fencing in the Olympics, I've learned a lot. As he described it when he first started doing it, he goes, it's like playing with tag with swords. You're trying to touch the one person and not get tagged by the,
wow,
by the opposition, in a real confined space. So a lot of fast footwork and agility. So it's been really cool to kind of go and watch him train and enjoy it. I mean, I pick him up 2 hours later, he's a sweaty mess and just super intense, and he's loving it right now.
That's pretty cool, doing something different. Like fencing is, North Carolina's got a great fencing program, don't they?
Yeah. And like I said, he found it out, the two of us sitting watching the Olympic coverage, because like when the Olympics are happening, that is all I watch. Like flipping from all the different networks, and we came across fencing one time. This was not this past Olympics, but 4 years ago. He's like, wait, what is this? I'm like, oh, funny you should ask. One of the original Olympic sports. So.
Well, how's your golf game? Excuse me. How's your golf game?
It's okay. You know, I feel it's evolving, which is what I hope. I feel I have a better swing, better setup. But I love it. It's one of the only things I grind over now. And, you know, as a competitor, and, you know, the big thing about golf is what I love about it is it doesn't care what you did the day before. Like, you could have played out of your mind and, you know, your swing and the game felt so easy, and you show up the next day and it's like, it's not even the same bag of clubs. And it's incredibly humbling. And at least in soccer, when I wasn't on technically, I could still work really hard. But golf, the harder you try, the worse you are.
I swear, that's me in putting. No matter where I put the ball, the place the ball between my feet, or what line I think, or how my setup goes, or I can't, it's not like shooting free throws, that's for sure. I can't get it right. I just can't get the technique down.
I know. And it just doesn't, you know, the setup, you think it's the same setup from the day before when you felt you were putting really well, and it just goes away. It can go away so quickly. But I love the challenge. And, you know, a lot of the times when you get to play, you get to choose who you want to play with. So it's usually, you know, my husband plays, but just people you want to spend time around. So when I'm out in Chapel Hill, I'll go play with a couple of our friends down in Pinehurst. We're going to take a couple of days and enjoy the time out there.
Nice. Well, you have lifelong teammates. You have, your teammates are awesome. And I'm always intrigued by watching how you all galvanize together, group together, because they all love you so much, and you're such the alpha without being the alpha in that group. And they all just enjoy spending time together with your families. It's pretty cool to watch from the outside. I mean, I get a glimpse of it when I'm at your golf tournament, which, thank you for inviting me every year. I love playing in it. It's just really interesting how you manage all the different personalities that are around you all the time, Mia, because, you know, you're such a humble superstar. You just, and you're quiet. It's really interesting. It's just interesting to watch.
Well, I, first of all, just thank you for participating every year. It's because of people like you that it continues, and we love having you. And listen, I have been incredibly blessed with some amazing teammates, friends for life. And they've been huge supporters of my foundation before I even had a foundation. When my brother was going through his illness, like, I didn't even have to ask, and they were right there by my side. You know, for me, it's always been about the quality of people you're able to associate with. And I've been extremely blessed to have some amazing human beings in my life. And I was fortunate enough, a lot of them were my teammates. And I love the fact that we get to be able to come together and do it for a good cause, but just to share memories. And, you know, I think we all had roles to play. Some of us were a little more kind of in your face in terms of, you know, I did a lot more of the media stuff. And then, you know, you had Carla. That was, Carla and Julie were the ones who led our team every single day. We're putting out small fires so they didn't become these huge bonfires that could take down a team. They were just had the pulse and the insight to know who needed to hear what at the right time. You know, that wasn't one of my strengths as a player. You had, you know, Christine Lilly, who was just, she was just so freaking good at anything you wanted her or needed her to do, and set a standard for all of us. You had, you know, Julie Fatty, who just brought kind of so much joy and levity to our team and humor. And when things got really tense, she just knew the right thing to say. And the intelligence to lead us down the road of our contract negotiations, which was difficult at times and scary. And we just had some really kind of amazing personalities that were just super supportive of each other. And I think in the end, we just really cared about one another as people. And I'm just grateful that they're still friends of mine. They still haven't changed their numbers. At least they text me back, whether it be, you know, within a couple minutes or a couple days, as we know, we all kind of get into our lives. But now I'm just, I love my friends, and I'm so grateful that they continue to support the foundation and be a part of my life. Yeah.
You can definitely see they love you. There's without question, the way you guys all carry on, whether it's on the range or the post game and all the parties and everything around it. It's just really fun to watch. I appreciate you letting me, you know, have a piece of experience there with you and your group. I want to just bring one more topic to the table for you, Mia, and you know, with, you know, this is my 20th year with the Indiana Fever, and I know that you're a big fan of Caitlin Clark. She grew up with your poster on the wall in her bedroom, so she's a big fan of yours. You were able to, you know, we were able to work out a signed jersey, which I presented to her, when I gave it to her, it went viral. She was so excited to receive a jersey with your name, and you took some time to put some words on the jersey for Caitlin, which I'm sure she has framed somewhere in her house. But the whole, the 99ers were a disruption in the economic marketplace. You know, Tiger Woods was a disruption in golf. Caitlin Clark is what I call Clarkonomics, the greatest disruption in the history of women's basketball. Could be down the road, could be in her, you know, kind of have her name in a history book right next to yours and Billie Jean King, you know, people like that that have done so much for women's sports. When you think about what Caitlin has been able to do alongside the WNBA, we say that it lifts all tides in the league. You know, everybody's making money. Everybody is thriving. What about women's sports in general, from your lens through soccer, being an owner, being involved in the international game and the Olympics? What do you see?
I think it's been tremendous. I see, you know, it's been growing probably over the past five, seven years in terms of visibility. But obviously what Caitlin's been able to do and, you know, the eyes that are now on the WNBA, but more so just women's sports. And like you said, when people get together, it's now kind of the benchmark in terms of where we look at where we are and where we can go. And I think you see excitement around women's sports. I think accessibility is greater than it's ever been. And you see the participation, the numbers are growing. And, you know, for me, and one of the things that if Caitlin ever reached out and asked for my opinion is just to continue to be your authentic self. I think a lot of the times, whether it be sponsors or fans want you to kind of change in a way that's not who you are, I think is really important, because one of the things we all love is not just how she plays, but how she goes about her business. She's fierce and confident and a little bit cocky when she needs to be, mm-hmm. but she is, because she's worked incredibly hard. Like to be strong in your foundation as an athlete, I think sets you up in terms of what you can do when you're battle tested, when you put stress on yourself in your training environment. You know, when you get on the court to play the game, that's about expressing yourself and celebrating all that hard work. So I think that's one of the things that draws fans to her, is she's unapologetic for wanting to go after it and wanting to win. And it's what draws, you know, some of the criticism with people that have to compete against her. It's like, damn. Like, you're no joke. You're for real. And so, I would, you know, I'm excited to see what she's going to do in the future, but just to be, you know, to stay who you are and, keep going after it. And she's done so much already for the growth of women's sports. And, you know, at times you get pulled in so many different directions, but just stay true to yourself. And, you know, as you know, as an athlete, like the one thing you feel you can control is what you do inside the lines. It's what you know best, is where you are the most comfortable, where you, that's your happy place. I know with me, it was like being inside the lines. It's, you know, the other stuff you learn to grow and do. But all that comes at the work that you get to do on the court or on the field. So just keep enjoying that.
I mean, nobody knows behind the scenes how many countless hours you had spent getting ready when you didn't think you could do one more rep or push through one more exercise, but you do. And I think Caitlin is just like that, that that's what defines part of her greatness. And to be great like that, you have to be able to put yourself through the incredible extreme of incredible self-doubt while you're, you know, like you said, inside the lines, you know, where you know you can control what you can control. You can't control the other stuff. I will say, for a young woman, she was absolutely amazing all season. I never heard her one time in a press conference not take the high road or say the wrong thing. She always took the high road. She always said the right thing. And I always was amazed that, you know, there's times where you just may want to take a stab at somebody because you're just tired of the same old stuff over and over, but she never did. So her maturity, her understanding where she is, her place in the world, if you will. And I don't even know if we can even measure, you know, what the impact of, especially the growth in basketball, you know, that number was dropping off participation wise for girls and women in sport. And now that number's coming back up. And I think it's a large portion due to her, not just her, but there are others, but she's the main one.
No, it's been tremendous. And, yeah, you, and then as she continues to get older, she'll learn it's not just the quantity, but the quality. Cause I know there were times, you know, when you're younger and you have this endless amount of energy, you just go out there and bang balls or shoot balls till you're tired. And then as I got older, like I realized I could shoot myself into a slump, you know, into bad technique. And you kind of, once you feel it, you go out there with a plan going, this is what I'm working on. And then once you feel it, you just are like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to do 100. Like I have, you're able to kind of walk off the field or walk off the court going, I'm exactly where I want to be. Both not just physically in terms of my technique, but psychologically, I just have that confidence where I feel I'm in the right place and in the right frame of mind. So, that's kind of a really fun spot to get in. I remember where you're just like, oh, I'm good. Like I feel really good. And I feel bad for whoever has to mark me tomorrow because it's not going to be easy.
So there is a threshold where that's where you work hard, but then you work smart, right? So you get to a point where you know that no matter what you do physically, your technique can't be compromised. You have to make sure you still have what we would say muscle memory and the ability to self-correct. It's a fitness thing too. You know, there's nobody that's in better shape than her. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that kind of, I don't know. It's just this euphoric sense of confidence that you're able to experience is really powerful. And, because you know that if you push yourself at some point past that physical limit, you start breaking down technically. Mm-hmm. And then that's when kind of old habits start to, I know in soccer, like sometimes you'll start kind of coming across the ball because you're dragging your leg basically rather than kind of getting through it. And it's like a golf swing. All of a sudden you start going, what the heck happened? Like, where did it go? And but it's so fun. And like I said, just she's been a joy to watch compete. And I'm excited for this next season. And, you know, they'll create storylines every year. And I hope she looks at it as just another opportunity to help the sport grow and that she's been able, you know, she is where she is because she's worked hard. And she's an incredible talent, and embrace that.
Well, I'm going to be embracing that euphoric feeling that I hope I'm going to hit about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the driveway. I'm going to be thinking about Mia Hamm says that I'm ready. I put all the time in. I'm good to go. I just got to knock down some shots and hopefully all the training that I put in will give me that euphoric feeling. I'll be looking forward to that because it's not getting easier, but it sure is making a difference, and you have helped us make a difference. So I want to thank you for all the time that you, even the clinic that you did with Frankie and his friends in Mount Pleasant, all the things that you do for Special Olympics. I'm just trying to do my part like you do yours.
Well, you're a superstar, Debbie, and just thank you for all you do and obviously your support for the Mayhem Foundation. But I know you do it for Frankie and his buddies, but you've impacted so many people's lives. So thank you so much.
Mayhem, thank you for being with us on 24 Hours Nothing But Net. It is always a thrill, my friend. And it's great to see you. Thank you for giving us some time.
All right. Be safe, Debbie.